Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Revelation 12:11, and they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto the death. I want to preach today. I don't know if I'll get through all this today. If not, we'll do it next week as well. Not today, Satan. Subtitled, When Enough is Enough. Not today. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, not today, Satan. Real quick, before you sit down, turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, not today, Satan. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Not today, Satan has become a popular saying in the last couple years. Songs have been written about it. T-shirts bear the slogan. I see it all the time on social media. It has become an anthem for the faith-filled world. I found myself saying it to hype myself, get myself ready, to put the devil in his place. However, every quotable quote, every cute little saying, every tweetable text that we use, as much amen as you can get over it, means nothing unless it's backed up by the Word of God. And I have a little thought about the generation that we're raising that is around enough church to pick up the lingo of church, but not to understand the foundation of where that lingo comes from. Like when I say that I'm too blessed to be stressed, that's not in the Bible, but the principles are there. That God has covered me in such a way, church, that I'm not stressed out by the things that come against me, by the things that are going on around me. Come on now, I watch Fox News, CNN, I watch our local news, and sometimes I got to turn it off, but I've never lost sleep over what I've seen. I've shed tears over what I've seen. I've prayed about what I've seen, but I've never been so stressed about what's going on in our world, in our country, that I lost sleep. Why? Because it's in God's hands. It's in God's hands, and I'm in God's hands. And if it's in God's hands and I'm in God, there's nothing I can do but pray and do my part on the part of God's green earth that he's given me. And so when I look at the generation coming behind me, and it's not just the generation behind me, but it's the new converts and those that have just now freshly come to God, and they've been serving God for a few weeks or a few months. And my prayer for them is get a foundation of faith. Don't just mimic and parrot what TV preachers say or what social media saints say. And all of that is good, and listen to podcasts and read books. I mean, we give these books away and it can change your life, but make sure that everything that you are saying, that you know why you're saying it. And you've heard me preach this a lot last year into this year, that we don't pray and we don't fight for victory. We pray and fight from victory. That it's something inside of us that we are moving from so that we can become all that God has called us to be. And so I encourage the younger generation, the newer generation, get yourself a foundation of faith. How do I do that? Listen to all the podcasts you want, but every once in a while, not every once in a while, every day, open up the Bible. Get you a highlighter. Get you a pen and read the promises of God and highlight them. You ought to read the Bible sometime and it makes you feel bad. That's called conviction. It moves you closer to God. There's sometimes you ought to read the Bible and it punches you right smack dab between your face, between your eyes. We need truth. You can have all the faith saying that you want, but unless it's founded in truth, it is merely just words. You can tweet it, you can post it on a magnet on your refrigerator, but unless it's backed up by the Word of God, it is just a cute little saying. If it's not backed up by biblical principle, then it isn't worth anything or capable of anything. It is a gun without a bullet, a sling without a stone, a bow without an arrow, essentially weapons without ammo. And we have trained each other to leave the building saying all of these sayings, and they're great sayings, but unless it comes from a biblical foundation that you've meditated on, That's what David would say to Saul when Saul would try to put his armor on him to go fight the biggest Goliath in the biggest, baddest dude he'd ever fought. He said, "Wear my armor." What did David say? "I haven't proved that." He said, "That works for you, but it might not work for me." Come on, church. And so when you hear somebody that is a seasoned saint saying, "Well, I'm too blessed to be stressed," understand they've gone through some hell and they've lived to tell about it. And now they stand on this side of the tragedy, on this side of the fight, on this side of the storm and valley. And so when they say, "I'm too blessed to be stressed," they are pulling from a past experience that God brought them through and that God was faithful to them. And so when you get saved and you start spouting that stuff, unless you've been through something, the devil knows you're just a parrot. Brack, brack, brack. All you want is a cracker. You don't want the real thing. When the devil shows up, and we know that he is going to show up, we must be prepared to battle him with more than just empty words. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." The devil will show up. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come," Jesus said, "to give you life, and life in abundance. The devil will show up. Job 1:6-7, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Where did you come from? Where have you been?" Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth, walking around down in it." He was looking for somebody. The devil will show up. Revelation 12:10, the verse preceding what we read as our original text, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, the power of his Christ." Man, what a great statement. But then it's followed with this: "The accuser of the brethren is cast down." He's before God day and night accusing us. The devil will show up. But I've got news for the devil. He better pick another address. He better go over a street. He better go down the block. He better show up at another church. Because if he shows up at Living Way, we're going to kick his tail for the second time in 2,000 years. We are not cowardly Christians hiding in the corner. God has done something for us. We fight from a place of faith. When the devil comes at us, we come back with something that God has put in us. We are not leaning on the pastor. We are not waiting for a prophet or an apostle to share a word or give us some sort of encouragement. Every day of our life, whether I hear this praise team sing, whether I have Bishop Jakes firing me up, I've got enough in me that when I speak, the devil knows. Not today, Satan. That is not going to work. Pick another target. Pick another family. Pick another marriage. Pick another bank account. It's not going to work here. Confidence, confidence. The devil is a defeated foe. He is a fake. He is phony. He is a fraud. God knows it. The devil knows it. But most believers act like we are ignorant of this fact. When the devil shows up at your house, he already knows he's lost. It's like all of those guys that used to get in the boxing ring with Iron Mike Tyson. Man, we forget how good Mike was. I wasted about 45 minutes 2 weeks ago watching Iron Mike back in the 80s. And I'm talking about this dude was putting people to this guy. And now we see him, and he talks with his lisp, and he could conquer every foe, but he couldn't conquer the letter S. And I know that it's probably tough for him. We're just joking. We're just making sure you're awake. And we see him now with his face tattoo, wrapping around his eye. Judgment probably is not as sharp as it should be. But he can still, man, I saw him the other day. He can still go. He can still fight. Every guy that stepped in the ring, I don't care who they are. I don't care how much they talked in the press conference. You know, in the back of their mind, they're like, this might not go good. They got their corner man lying to them. You can do it. Stay in there. Stay in there. There was one guy I saw that literally told his corner man, he said, "I'm done." He said, "Go out there and quit." And he said, "Throw in the towel right now." And his ring man refused to do it. His corner man refused to do it. And so finally he grabbed the towel and he threw it in himself. Because he knew he was stepping in the ring with somebody that was bigger, better, stronger
faster, younger than he was, and he knew that he might not make it out. Can I encourage you that the devil knows he's defeated? He's sitting in the corner of your life knowing that if I go out there, there's a good chance that this believer is going to put me flat on my back. There's a good chance that they're going to say hallelujah and all of heaven is going to show up. There is a good chance that they're going to call on the name of Jesus. And the same Jesus that beat my tail 2,000 years ago is going to bring all of heaven, all of Michael, all of Gabriel, every angel, every power. And it's going to happen again.
What the devil does? The devil does. Friends that weren't invited to the party, yet they show up. They'll be tonight at your Super Bowl party. They'll come in late. They'll just kind of sidle their way in. They won't say much. They'll get their food. They'll probably take a couple plates to go. You know the type. They're testing. And then you're going to see. And then how you react to them says all they need to know about whether they can stay or whether they should go. And it could be the same words, just different inflection. Hey, what are you doing here? Oh, man, now I know I'm as good as gold. Or, hey, what are you doing here? You're getting your to-go plates, you're wrapping everything up, and you're going. The devil does the same thing. We shout, we praise it on Sunday, on Monday. Devil starts easing back in. He starts messing over here with our money. He's starting arguments over here with you and your wife. Little Johnny's, you're getting emails about little Johnny at school. Come on, when Tyler was in school, let me just tell one on Tyler real quick. They did Tyler dirty at his school because they would only send emails to parents at 3 a.m. It was probably a computer-generated response, I'm sure. But when he failed a test, we wouldn't find out at 8 o'clock at night. We wouldn't find out at 10 a.m. We found out at 3 a.m. in the morning. So I would tell Tyler, third grade, fourth grade, I love you, buddy. Have a good night's sleep. Let's pray. Oh, God bless him. God give him favor. God anoint him. And then I wake up at 6:45, the multiple emails, 26. 26? Come on, you get 15 points for putting your name right. One time it said, Tyler is not supposed to be chewing gum in music class, and he's chewing gum, and I told him to go spit it out, to which he went over to the trash can, pretended to spit, went back to his seat, and kept chewing the same piece of gum. So I put him together, put him to bed with that light, and at 6:45, he was woke up to, hey! What is wrong with you? A 26? Come on, man. You're a offender. We can't be doing stuff like this. You can never chew another piece of gum for the rest of your life. You're going to get to that. Man, they did him dirty. Devil comes in Monday. Devil comes in Tuesday. He starts nitpicking. It's never a full-blown rush. Just here, a little that. Because for us mature believers, he messes with our marriage. No, 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 not today, Satan. You grab that spouse by the hand in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that peace would be in our marriage. I pray that peace would be in our relationship. God, I pray that forgiveness would reign supreme. God, I pray that anger would fade and fizzle, that bitterness would not take root in the name of Jesus. You say, that's silly. No, that saves marriages. Why? Because you're telling the devil, not today, Satan. Why? Because I'm praying the presence of God in this thing. I said it the other day, it's easier to build a boy than it is to mend a man. When the devil starts messing with your kids, you tell the devil, not today, Satan. You're not going to take residence. I know he's only 7 years old, but I'm not going to let him talk like that to people. I'm not going to let him act like that. I'm not going to let him live his life like that. And what happens? You nip that in the bud and you tell Satan, you better pick somebody else's kid because that's not going to fly at my house. You got to put him in his place. Remember, I said this a few weeks ago on Wednesday night, the devil comes at you to see what's in you. And so when he comes at you and he starts messing with your kids and then you say things like, it's just a phase. No, it's not. They're throwing tantrums in the middle of HEB. Oh, isn't that cute? No, it's not really. And I know we're in 2020, so I got to really pray through for me not to fix your kids at HEB.
I got to go all the way down to the self-checkout. You know how I feel about self-checkout. I'm not paid to do that job.
And so it comes down to we've got the devil test us to see what's in us. The devil test us to see, do we know any word that backs up what we're saying and what we're espousing? Oh, you're really blessed? You're too blessed to be stressed? Well, let me bring some stress and see what you do with it. You know what I do with stress? Return to sender. I don't sign for it. Nope. You can't stay here. You know what I do with bad reports? Nope, you can't stay here. That's going right back to the pit of hell where that came from. I don't recognize the address. There's no relationship there. I'm not going to have that as a part of my life. Somebody say yes. Somebody say not today, Satan. Satan doesn't fear you. Satan doesn't fear me. Satan doesn't fear the greatest pastors on the face of this planet. He fears who you know. He fears who you serve. He fears the spirit on the inside of you. He fears what you know, which is the word of God. He fears the promises that you've built your life on. He does not fear me. You say, well, why does he always keep coming back over and over? Because he wants to check, do you still know what you think you know? Are you still serving like you're supposed to serve? Are you still as tight with Jesus like you think you are? When he buffets us, he is seeing, are we made, what we are made of, if we are full of faith, fluff, or if we have a faith foundation. If we shout, not today, Satan, but have nothing behind those words, we might as well be shouting popular movie quotes. Titanic, 1997, I'm the king of the world. He says, what? You can't pay your light bill. You're in your fourth marriage. You're not the king of anything. Oh, but I'm a royal priesthood. A holy nation. Come on now. It's a principle that I can back up with the word of God. I am king of the world. What you just talked about, that's an accusation of the old person. I am no longer like that. I am not addicted anymore. I am free. I am who God has called me to be. And I love how you keep bringing that up, because every time you bring that up, it doesn't make me want to wallow in my past. It makes me want to praise Jesus that I came through the nasty divorce. I came through bankruptcy. I came through depression. I came through the sickness. And so thank you for reminding me that I need a praise break right here in the middle of my Tuesday afternoon. I am king of the world, and I got a principle that backs it up. Terminator 2, the best Terminator there is. Don't at me. The best Terminator. Judgment Day, 1991. Hasta la vista, baby. Devil said, what? Hasta la vista, baby. Devil said, who? Get thee behind me, Satan. Get under my feet. I'm not just saying words. I could come up with cute little phrases, but when you back me in a corner, you're going to get the word. You're going to find out that I have proven that I have thrown stones before. You're going to find out that I wrestled with a bear and I wrestled with a lion with my bare hands and won. And this uncircumcised, uncoveted, no relationship giant is going to fall just like they fell. Come on now. If I could do that to a lion and a bear with my bare hands, God has given me a sling, and now I get to go toe-to-toe with what is in between me and my destiny. Bring it on. Not today, Satan. Let's put some word with this declaration, not today, Satan. Luke 10:19 says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents, scorpions, and over all of the power of the enemy, nothing shall by any means hurt you. What that means is when I say not today, Satan, I say I have all power over the enemy. Nothing shall hurt me. I'm giving you some pastoral advice and counsel today in a congregation, in a corporate setting. That when you say, not today, Satan, what you are reminding him when you know the word is I already know you are defeated. And the Bible says that snakes and scorpions are under my feet, that I can walk on them, meaning this, devil, you're not over me, I am over you. I have authority over you, you don't have authority over me. You need permission to come into my house. You need permission to talk to my wife. You need permission to mess with my kids, and I don't give you that right. You are defeated. You are under my feet. When I say not today, Satan, I mean not today. Let's keep going. James 4:7. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
meaning this declaration, not today, Satan, I oppose you. We are not on the same team. We are not on the same side. You have to go. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? I'm talking about everyday declarations. When the devil shows up and tries to mess with you in your life, something you can say back to him, founded on the word of God. Devil, I used to work with you. I used to bump with you at the club. I used to do drugs with you. I used to do all of the craziness of life. But somewhere along the line, Jesus got a hold of me. And I've come to put you on notice and let the record show I am not in your camp any longer. I am not on your team any longer. I don't work for you any longer. You have to go. If I resist you, if I oppose you, if I stand against you, the Bible says you have to flee. I love it. It's a quick work. He came in slow, sidling around, but he leaves fast. Come on, when you stand in authority, say, not today, Satan. Say, you have to go. It's not going to take till Friday. Authority says it happens right now. Remember, God and Satan cannot reside in the same place in your life. Either Satan has set up shop or God has set up shop. And for those of us that are claiming not today, Satan, we mean it. You have to go. Somebody say, not today, Satan. 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I love this declaration. Not today, Satan. Jesus has already destroyed you. I love when people talk about the Cowboys, because there's only a couple teams that have done what the Cowboys have done. I got all the chirping in my ear all the time. What have you done for me lately? What have they done lately? And it has been a long 25 years. A lot has changed in my life in 25 years. I'm a die-hard Cowboy. And so, thank you for those four people that just agreed with us. Come on, stretch it. No, just kidding. But what I do is I love Google. Because I'll Google some random game back in 1994. And I'll just talk about it. Yeah, but remember back on January 2nd, 1994, when Dallas whipped your team. Troy Aikman threw three touchdowns. Emmitt ran for 186 yards. And I go through all of this, reminding them of the dominance. But then they always have something that happened more recent than what I said. And they undo what I've done with something that has happened lately. I am here to tell you, God is in the winning business. God has never quit winning. What God has always won. When I said yes to Jesus, I became a winner. It might look like I lose a battle. I'm going to lose a battle for every now and then, but I am going to win the war. How do I know that? Because I've been to the back of the book. I know how all of this shapes up. I know exactly where God is taking me. I know exactly what God is doing. So when the devil shows up and I say, no, not today, devil. You have already been destroyed. The reason Jesus showed up was to destroy you. And 2,000 years ago, in the middle of everybody's weeping, he went down the back door of the tomb. He descended into hell where he just spent 72 hours. I mean, it didn't take him 72 hours. He just really drove home the point. You are defeated. You are never going to be what you want to be. You are going to come against my children, but I've got a power. I'm taking back the keys to your house. I'm taking back the keys to the grave. I'm taking back I'm making a way for them to go to heaven. You are defeated. And now the devil wants to come after he's been licking his wounds for 2,000 years, and he's wanting to sidle into your life and mess with you. No. Remind him, not today, Satan. The whole reason God showed up in the form of Jesus, 1 John 3:8 says, is so that he can manifest and show you that you are defeated once and for all. Every bully needs to be punched in the face. And the punch doesn't have to come from somebody bigger and badder. They just need to be punched in the face. You got to just remind the devil every once in a while and punch him in the face. So how do I do that? By praying the prayer of faith. By going through hell, keeping a smile on your face and faith in your heart, saying, I don't like how I feel right now, but there is a better day in front of me. Jesus made a way for me to overcome the adversary. How do I punch him in the face? By waking up and not laying in bed depressed, but going to work before you feel better, going to school before you get your mind right, putting one step. We're not talking about making it for the next 12 months. I want you to make it through the next 12 hours and prove to the devil, you might have knocked me down, but I'm getting back up. And when I get up, I've got a lesson learned, and I'm coming after you. Not today. You're already defeated, already destroyed. One more. We'll continue next week. Romans 12, 19. Beloved, never avenge, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is I will repay, says the Lord. We'll end with this. This is the truth. Not today, Satan. God has me, and God will avenge me. That's the truth. That's the declaration. God has me. God will avenge me. End with this story, and it's a fresh story. It's a story that is a couple weeks old. I had a conversation with a young man last week. Had been carjacked, shot in his head. In one side of his head, out the other side of his head, lived to tell the tale, was here 2 days after all of that happened. And as I prayed for him, I prayed for healing, I prayed for health, I prayed that he would come through this with no brain trauma, no brain misfunction, none of that, and prayed for his physical health. But I could feel so much. Have you gone to the... We don't do that from where I come. Now we're in real life, y'all. It ain't pulpit faith. It's not a sermon that has been rehearsed and that has been typed out and given with no abnormalities as we go, no extemporaneous condition. So we don't do that from where I come from. I said, listen, I know you're hurting. I know you're ticked off, you're mad. But don't do something in your anger that is going to cause you to be locked up for the rest of your life. Because then the enemy wins again. And then I told him, news for you. Dude shot you in the head. They took your car. You're still. You're not laid up in a funeral home. You're not in jail. You're still here. Let God fight your battle. Then I quoted this scripture. Revenge, vengeance is God. Let him fight your battle. You stand still. And I told that to him between the 9 and 11 o'clock service. And it wasn't an hour and a half later, and Chris Vada led him to Jesus Christ 1 week ago today. And what that young man was saying is I'm angry, I'm hurt, I'm mad, I'm ticked off at the world. I'm going to go handle it myself. And God said, no, give me all of that pain, all of your feeling. Put it all on me. Cast your cares on me because I care for you. And I'll carry the weight of that. And I'll make sure that everything that needs to be done is done. But you just concentrate on me. I want to encourage somebody today. In 2020, you've been thinking about how you're going to get back at somebody. Well, I'm going to go tell them off. I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to take them to court. Can I just tell you, let God fight your battles. Let God bring you freedom. Let God bring the vengeance. And you just say, not today. Satan, I'm not going to let you lock me up. I'm going to keep serving. I'm going to rise above. I'm going to let this become the biggest part of my testimony, that when I could have come and given you retribution, I turned the other cheek. I served God. I loved God. I let the chips fall where they may. And I'm walking in forgiveness. Not today, Satan. Stand on your feet. Giving you some declarations. Devil is going to show up. He's going to test your marriage, family, test your money, test your purpose, fight you, hell, he's going to test you. But I've learned that the best thing you can do is put them on notice at the very beginning.
7 years ago, almost hard to believe, 7 years ago, Pastor had an accident. Stood right here in the middle of this platform. Basically on life support in a comatose state. Accident on Friday night. Tears in my eyes. Exactly what I said. Devil, you the wrong family. The wrong church. Just put him on notice from that very get-go. Found out he was had his accident. He's an hour, over an hour away, and they told us not to come, that they would airlife him to SAMHSA. Pastor Beck and I came out here. I'm a walker when I pray. I walk this building. I walk circles and circles and circles for that hour before we met him at SAMHSA. Sister Becky was down here in this altar praying, and we just put the devil on notice. Nope, you're not going to win. Not going to win. Doctor said he's not going to make it through the night. Nope, we already put the devil on notice. You're not going to win. His time is not up. Doctor said, well, he's going to live after the first day. He's going to live, but I'll never walk again. I said, do you know Steve Fender? That's not going to work. He's as active as anybody I know, and he's not going to be confined to a wheelchair. They said, well, after the second day, well, he's going to walk. He's always going to walk with a limp. He's going to need assistance. He's going to have to take at least a year, maybe 18 months of physical therapy before he can get. And I said, man, if you put that man up on 2 feet, it ain't going to take 18 months. It's going to take 18 minutes. Six days after having one of the worst open book pelvic fractures that they'd ever seen, without an external fixator going on the outside of his body, 6 days later, he walked out of the hospital. You know why he walked out of the hospital? Because thousands of people, well, your friend Houston, his dad, Mike, man, he started praying, called everybody I knew, pray, pray, pray. We had thousands of people praying. Our church family came together. We prayed. Pastor Becky, me, Sean, Mandy, our kids, we bound together, and we told the devil, nope, Satan, not today. Not going to happen. I'm here to tell you, we're here to do that for you today. We're here to stand shoulder to shoulder with you. Say, I feel too weak to stand. We'll stand with you. We'll lift your hands. You're in this place today, and you're ready to put the devil on notice. I need you to join me right now. Don't wait. Don't think, man, is he talking to me? I'm talking to you. Put the devil on notice right now. I am not going home the same way that I walked into this building. Never again am I going to face what I'm facing today. Not today. I've got my declarations. You are defeated. You can't stay here. God has me. Vengeance is his. Here they come from all over the building.